A5, number 23B.
All right, so can you see what happens on that level of absolute Christian Science, where you always have the relationship of the principal two ideas, plural ideas, where the divine principle operates as the divine infinite calculus, calculating the specific idea. How? Because there is in being that nature of the Word of God as life, truth, and love, which says, being always as life impels the manifestation of every idea. Mind as life. Which as truth always impels the manifestation of the idea which is true and is whole. And love says, and it is the manifestation of that life, truth, which gives the fulfilled idea, the perfect idea, and has within itself already the answer for everything. So within the well of life, truth, and love goes on a terrific dynamic force that says, I am going to express life, the true truth, idea that is the exact and fulfilled and complete idea. Nothing incomplete comes out of my well. Life, truth, and love. Manifesting what? The idea of mind. That idea which is, I come to the Christ, the Savior, for that very situation. That's the Christ, if it helps to see the right idea. So I come to the Christ, to truth, life, and love, which shows us that within being there is that Christ nature that does what? That takes that whole reservoir of true facts, of true ideas, and through life takes out that individual idea which is necessary for what? Love for that very problem, so that it is adapted to the problem, that it gives me the right answer, so that it gives me bread when I need bread and not stone, and gives me stones when I need stones and doesn't give me bread. It is adapted to the situation. So you have a terrific sense of truth, life, and love, terrific sense that out of the reservoir of all truth, the individual life idea that is adapted to meet the need, love, is always at work. That's the Christ here. It is the Christ of mind. We are still in the main tone of mind because we can see truth, life, and love will bring out that idea and illumine that specific idea which is the light to the situation. The Word has said, I am the well that wants to bring out the true light. The Christ is that which brings out the specific form of that true light. And when that idea manifests itself through revelation specifically to us, then we know that that idea is of the nature of Christianity. And I come to Christianity, life, and love, which says what? Which says, you know, that idea that comes out of that computer, that divine computer, and which shows you the answer, that idea has the nature of life and love. Namely, that idea is eternalized by life and is eternally preserved and protected by love. That idea will never go down again. You get the sense that that which comes out of the well of the Word, of life, truth, and love, that at the point of Christianity, that idea will be an eternal idea, will stay with us, will never lose its ideational form, its ideational nature, it will not come and go, that it will be always be supported by life, maintained by life, provided by life, and will always be preserved by love, and will always be protected by love, so that that nothing can happen to that idea. And then something in me says, but is it then so that that word of life had to bring forth this eternal idea? And something in me says, no, it always existed. That eternal idea, because it eternalized, has not come forth, has not been manifested through mind, and suddenly come into being. It existed as an idea since time immemorial. It is a scientific fact and not a creation that has been created. It's a scientific fact, and I come to science as truth and love, where I can see that every idea, no matter what specific idea it is, that idea always existed in the pre-stabilized realm of the real. That it is an idea that existed before Abraham was. An idea that had not to be brought into existence, but is a fact that is complete. Truth, a fact that is complete love. That has always been at the point of perfection, love. And so I begin to sense that the solution has been there before the problem was there. That the right answer is there before I was asking for the right answer. Before you call, I will answer. Do you see the beauty there of seeing truth and love? No more a tone of life there, no more a tone of creation there, of impelling force there, but just saying, oh, I see that the solution I need apparently to solve the question that is under discussion is already established. The solution is right there, has always been there, because it is a fact in being, and those facts in being have always existed. And perhaps your thought flows backward. You see, now, at the very moment I was talking to, my thought was flowing backward from science to Christianity, which is because it says, in truth and love, it says, that idea was before Abraham was. It is a fact, truth, that is perfect love. And therefore, because it's a fact of perfection, it has always existed. It's an eternal fact, life and love in Christianity. It's an eternal fact of what? One fact, specific fact, out of all the facts of being. And you have the Christ. And so this goes further back to the word. It's one fact out of all the facts of being, because they exist in the word, in the logos of the word, as an eternal fact that is always impelled by life, is always true, and is always complete right from the beginning, right from eternity. Can you see, your thought can flow from left to right or from right to left. In the infinitude of spirit, your thought just can flow anywhere. But it's good to culture ourselves in a disciplined way, first according to the system of being, and then little by little the inspiration will take over and will steer your thought within the chart. Yes, so at that point I get the feeling, oh, that's wonderful. I see now that I don't have to correct that case. That case is only a false sense of mortal mind that has never existed, because it has no principle behind itself. The only mind there is the mind of the divine principle, and that divine principle only knows the divine mind, and that divine mind... Can you see, I'm now again back on the level of science, huh? Did you notice that? On the level of science, and said that divine mind has a principle behind itself, and that principle is that it operates as mind mind manifesting itself, out of itself, through itself, as itself, for the glory of mind. But within that whole realm of the infinite goes on the ever impulsion, the ever creation or impulsion of life, truth and love, life impelling every specific idea. The Christ brings that specific idea forth, Christianity showing that that specific idea is eternal, doesn't come and go, and therefore in science that specific idea exists since time immemorial. The answer is here. But then, thought may not be satisfied. You just listen and listen, and I bet that there is a suggestion coming up in your mind, in the human mind now, that says, but I would like to see it manifested in the human, in the material, in spite of error. I can see that idea as an idea of principle in absolute Christian science, but I would like to see that idea has the power, the specific idea has the specific power to correct the specific error. The moment I ask that question, my consciousness is on the level of Christian science. Because on the level of Christian science, we consider what? We consider how an idea impels itself on an illusion and brings that illusion to disappearance. And only when that illusion is brought to disappearance, I feel now I have made a demonstration in the human. So, we go to the level of Christian science, where we ask ourselves now, how is that mind that has brought forth a specific idea, how is that mind manifesting itself in spite of the human? And I go to the word, and through the word order, here, mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love, because that word order shows me that divine mind idea is now impelling itself on darkened human mind and begins to shift away, to blow away the spider webs, blow away the mist, blow away the dust, blow away all that which wants to becloud the true vision, the true idea. And so I begin to see, in order to bring out the true idea, the light, it begins with mind, where mind says, that mind says, let there be light, and there was light. That light, that idea of mind is wiping away ignorance, and as it wipes away ignorance, spirit comes in and says, now I begin to order that insight, that light, so that there is an ordered sense of that idea. Soul says, and I begin to identify that idea, I name it, so that I see, oh, that's it. That's the eureka sense at that point of soul where you say, I got it. Huh? Now the idea has become identified, definite, named, and you feel, now this is it, really. Now I see the idea no more just as light without form, but now it is specified and identified as the idea. Now I got it. Now I see the answer to that situation, and nothing can be clouded anymore. And it gives me a sense that this idea has a principle behind itself, principle, which is now operating as the principle of that idea. It says that idea begins now to operate how? By lifting me right out of the whole situation, life, lifting me above that whole darkness, so that I have my head above it. and I'm no more in it, and showing me therefore that this idea will have dominion, truth, over the whole situation, and as love, that this idea will bring forth the perfection of that situation. Can you say it's still in the word, it will do it. It will, so to say, in life exalt us. It will in truth give us the dominion. It will give us the perfection. Because that's the revelation of the word. And because it gives us that revelation of the word, something in me is dissatisfied. It says, that's fine, I got the idea, and I can see what the idea is doing through principle, life, truth, and love. I see it now, huh? I got it, I hold to it. But, then comes the but will that idea have the power to deal with error, to deal with matter, to deal with the flesh, to deal with the opposite? And therefore, I have to take in the Christ. So my thought flows to the Christ order. Because the Christ in Christian Science does what? It says, I am the manifestation that comes to the flesh to destroy incarnate error. I am that idea that is so powerful that it is going to deal with the suppositional opposite, with concrete error. And so thought begins to flow into the Christ order, where I sit back and see, oh, well, I have seen that wonderful vision of the word and of the word order, and the promise that lies in that word order. The promise that says, and it will fulfill itself. I can trust that idea that it will fulfill itself. It started with mind in the world order, and it will fulfill itself in love in the world order. Now I see the promise. Now I take that standpoint as my standpoint and begin to see that that is my principled standpoint. And I begin with the Christ. I take the whole world order as my principled standpoint. Say, on this principle I'm going to work. From this principle I'm going to look out. And so I begin to sit back quietly and see, oh, this vision of the world where mind has shown me the true idea and has manifested the true idea, that's now the principle of being, and that principle is that which has the life power, which has the truth power, and which has the love power, namely that it has that potency of principle which says, I'm going to express myself as life, and I'm going to show you that this is the dominant power, truth, and that this is a total engagement of that power. It will not leave one stone unturned until I have manifested myself. It's a total engagement of love which says, I'm going to overturn and overturn and overturn and overturn. You hear? Soul? Huh? Soul that overturns and overturns until he comes whose right it is. So you have soul overturning suddenly. You see that that will overturn the whole situation. And by overturning that whole situation, it is going to purify spirit, to purify every situation, to cast out, to chuck out, to sift out all that does not belong to it. It's a great period of purification, a great period perhaps of crisis, of chemicalization, where step by step by step the purity of spirit is being brought out, and the wrong, the false, the impure is sorted out. And when everything is sorted out through spirit, what do you have? The right idea manifested. Mind. You come to mind. So can you see the Christ is that attitude of perseverant, consistent, tough standpoint you take, where you don't give in anymore, where you stick to your vision, and to the power of your vision and see that that idea is a Christ, and that that idea will just roll on the situation and just put that situation right into proper order, until finally at the point of mind the idea is being manifested in spite of error. Then you could feel, that's it. Now we have it. Huh? What do we want more than that? The right idea manifests itself, the situation is correct. But here and there, there comes up another little suggestion, and says, but, you see, always when the but comes in your consciousness is a good thing, then you know something is not corrected. There is an aspect that has not been covered in your consciousness. And in that consciousness, the but may come up that says, but will it be solid enough, strong enough, powerful enough to stand, so that it will not be wiped away again, so that the child will not be decapitated again? Can it stand? Huh? Can it be a Jesus idea that has the vision to go back into Egypt and all the other children are... Huh? The Herod comes and wants to kill it. The point always comes, yes, the idea is born, but will it have eternality? Will it be strong? Will it be powerful enough? Can it stand the attack of animal magnetism? Can it stand the attack of opposition? You ask about the bigness of the idea. How big is the idea? The moment you ask how big is the idea, you ask the question of Christianity. Christianity tells us always about the bigness of an idea. And so in consciousness we begin to realize that if it is an idea that has come to us, then it must be an idea of principle. It has come from principle. And so you begin to feel every idea that has come to us and is manifesting itself, that it is principle's own idea, that it is backed up by the divine principle, and that it is not my idea, that it is not somebody's idea, the practitioner's idea, my idea, it's principle's idea, and therefore this idea has everything that principle has. That's now Christianity, where we begin to consider the bigness of the idea and say it has everything that principle has. All right, if it has everything what principle has, then it has all, the allness of mind. Then that idea has all. How all? It has all that is equal or identical or with the divine principle. So, that idea has everything that principle has, because it's identical with its principle. Therefore, I can see that it reflects in spirit all other ideas. All other ideas. And so I begin to see the bigness of every idea because it reflects all other ideas. There it comes in, that exercise of blending ideas. Where you say, what is intelligence? Intelligence reflects with all other ideas, as we have been doing. It's at that point that this comes in our treatment, where we begin to see that an idea is then an idea when it reflects all the other ideas. And then you feel, my word, if it reflects all other ideas, then all other ideas as life support this idea, father this idea, maintain this idea. And in truth you see that every other idea affirms that idea, stands for that idea, is positive to that idea, doesn't attack that idea, doesn't negate that idea, doesn't criticize that idea, but affirms it. And you get the whole support and the affirmation of the universe of all ideas, and you get love, really the acceptance of it, the universal acceptance of it, the universal love of it, and you just feel this idea is loved by the whole universe, is embedded in the whole universe, is loved by the whole universe, is mothered and cared for by the whole universe. I think we can't get the bigger sense of Christianity at that point. Do you see that? Terrific, huh? And then you may be very satisfied. You may leave your treatment and feel, now I got it, huh? If not, something creeps up in your mind and says, but how is that? Why is that so? Who has made that? Who has taught that? You ask for the reason of it, the explanation of it. You ask, why is it so? And so you get an answer in the science order, where in the science order you feel the science order tells you that this idea that is so big and universal, which we have arrived at the point of Christianity, is really an idea of a scientific principle, that is an idea within a system of being, that has its explanation and its place value within the infinite being, the system of being, the structure of being. That it isn't just an idea that has now come somehow into existence, but that it is an idea that has found its true place value in the system of being. And so you begin to reason that this idea is actually a structural idea, that it is an idea within a big structure, and that that idea has had its right identity, its right identity and place value within that system, life and soul, and that that idea has an infinite calculus and operates therefore in the infinite calculus. The principle has been working in it. And that it is an idea that is integrated into the whole plan of that structure, and has found its right place value in that structure. And has therefore always been just an idea which principle knew, which principle operated, and your thought goes right back from principle to that infinite principle on the level of divine science, where you could see that idea that has been manifested through that mind has been an idea in principle since time immemorial. Thank you. That's it.